Okay, we'll call our workshop recap and first quarterly meeting to order. First item will be roll call.
All those present, we have a forum.
Consideration of minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look through the minutes? Are there any additions, corrections? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
It's been moved by Kim. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Lee. Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same way? Minutes have been considered. Treasurer's report.
Everybody got a copy of it? I don't know if you need to mention about it. If you have questions, I'll...
I guess I have a question, and it's just my confusion is forms came for the first time. I see things like, for instance, we have Arthur Township.
Which page are you on, Jason?
Page one of the custom detail transaction.
Oh, I sent the email to
you. Email to us.
Oh.
Oh, Arthur Township is a $5.
Well, it's got like four different lines on it. So it's got like Arthur Township, and then it's got two different accounts, like invoice and then a payment with it, but three different lines, undeposited and check different lines for accounts for undeposited funds and accounts received. I don't understand. So it's just these things where it says, Arthur Township cash, unorganized, and undeposited, and
this is a QuickBooks thing, and this is a form that I haven't used before.
Okay.
And I have questions why they put it in there that way too, but it's just been a deposit.
Okay. So. Yeah, just weird the way it comes up.
It's an internal account in QuickBooks. Yeah. Right. The way it handles the flow of money through it. It puts everything on deposit and funds.
Okay. So the QuickBooks just takes the one and then puts it into a different account.
And then
gives you four different lines for one simple transaction.
Right, because it's like undeposited and then the country, what is it, organized.
Unorganized, then undeposited.
So this is what it actually was.
Okay.
This is what that actually was.
Okay. Unorganized. Okay, so unorganized, and then...
And goes to undeposited funds,
and then gives you two lines. Or
I'm going to work on a different report for you next time than that, because that is very confusing.
Yeah, okay. I figured it was something like that, but it's just, I can understand why there's multiple lines for payroll in that thing, but the deposit,
it's like that on every township deposit?
Yeah.
Anything else on the treasurer's report? Questions? Is there a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
Also moved.
Second.
Who moved?
Yeah.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion to accept the treasurer's report passes. Attorney's report.
Step back to the minutes for a second.
Yes.
If you'll notice the minutes for the December 23rd meeting, they're in a different format. I experimented with using an AI generator. So that's written by AI, and I just go through it and I put in the specifics of the motion and all the summary term and everything generated by AI. One that's a draft across it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all right, yeah.
What date?
December 23rd. The one that was last across every page.
Well, my comment would be, I like the organization. It looks clean, it's easy to read, and easy to follow. If you're looking for feedback.
Yeah. It gives a lot more detail than I used to put into mine. But it also, you know, that was a 2-hour meeting, and we have a 3-page report on it.
So, I mean, if you're, like, looking for a thought on using that in the future, I would...
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. It's neat. It's clean.
Yeah. And was the AI listening to the recording when you're working with?
Yeah.
A lot of places are going that way now.
Yeah.
So.
And the answer to that is I can put that online within hours.
Yep.
Do you need a motion to
Not really,
all right. Yeah. No, that would be a good thing.
Just wanted to know what's going on, so I maybe get some feedback on.
Okay. Barb had one thing she
wanted. Yeah, I forgot to mention. We talked about a scanner for all the receipts and stuff left, and we're still working on that. We should get that in place. I have all of the receipts here, or the invoices and stuff here. If anybody wants to look at them. The next time I should, by the time we get that, I should be able to print out a report for you, like a spreadsheet with all those invoices on that spreadsheet, so you wouldn't have to look at each paper.
I've been waiting for 4 weeks from Best Buy for a scanner, so I may need to go elsewhere too.
We got some pretty reasonable ones on Amazon, I noticed. Some for other brands, and some pretty good brands.
I've got a couple of the brothers. They're like $370 or something like that. That's been a pretty good one for me.
This one wasn't quite that much, but it was just a one pager. So you just
this is a document scanner.
Yeah,
60 pages in it.
Oh, yeah. That's why I told Barbara today when I talked to her, you can just, you know, write that check out, put your whatever on your receipt, and scan that receipt in and just be done, you know. So be nice to get her something stuff.
Yeah.
Be good to get the one.
Well, then it would be easier for you to look at it too.
Right.
Okay, I thought we had a motion or whatever.
I don't.
To pick it.
I just wanted to let them know I didn't forget.
Okay.
I have that down in the
Full
business.
Yeah, that's where I thought it.
Oh, okay. She's excited to have
us
again.
A new toy.
Attorney's report. Not really a whole lot. RFQ registration sent to Larry. I made all updated changes. I guess as you guys know, I spent the last few days in D.C. Where all the counties in the nation or everybody in the nation is facing property tax backlash from everybody. I heard from, I guess, the Association of Counties officials from Florida, Ohio, and Texas, and there's all either within the legislature or initiating measures there to get rid of property tax. They don't have any other sources of income, so that'll be really interesting to see if that happens. They don't have the flush state like we do with money, so if they get rid of it, they don't really have any recourse for coming up with the money. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in those other states to see what's going to happen. But it seems like there's just a national push right now. It's kind of interesting because the last few years when I've been going out to this conference, it does seem like the issues that we have had in North Dakota, they're on a national front. And that was one of the big conversations. I went to 2 sessions specifically about that, and then we had a county civil attorneys breakout session, and the people that presented that, one of the other ones also presented that, like the county civil attorneys, because it's just such a big issue right now for everybody. So I'm guessing that we're going to see another resurgence of that in North Dakota over the next couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something initiated again this year, to be honest with you. So we got that to fight. The other big thing that we talked about was data centers. And it seems like every place else is embracing data centers from what I could gather from the conversation.
We had, actually, Colleen Clark was presented in a panel, and he's a former North Dakota PSC member, or Public Service Commissioner, I should say. He now is a director, or an ED of some power conglomerate association, a national one, out in D.C. So they presented from the power provider's aspect, other than trying to get the infrastructure in there. It seemed like it was kind of, it seemed like everybody was for data centers. There's a county specifically in Virginia, just outside of D.C., where they have 200 data centers within 10 miles. And it seems like they got along with it. There's growing pains, and I think that's what we're going to have, but it doesn't seem like this is going to stop. When this first started, I thought North Dakota was kind of one of the first states to end up with data centers, but it sounds like we're just kind of catching up to the rest of the country because they're all over. Specifically out there, like I said, that one county has 200 data centers within 10 miles, and I don't know, it sounds like they get along with them fine. So I would guess as soon as we can get through the growing pains around here, it's probably something that's going to happen more frequently, and it's probably going to be all right for the tax base and employment opportunities are probably, they're not going to be plentiful. There's only going to be a few jobs at each one of them, I think. But I think they're probably going to be good paying jobs and probably bringing decent people to our areas. So I'm not 100% sure that it's something that we should all look upon badly. And it's kind of funny, I went out to D.C. to find that out. But I think we might have to take a different look at those, because I don't think they're going to stop, and we're probably not going to stop them the way it looks.
Did you hear any talk on this? One comment that I heard from out in the workshop from a guy, this bit with these data centers are going to have to bring their own power in so that the states do not have to be burdened with it, and their first option is nuclear.
I didn't hear anything specifically about nuclear power, but that was one of the conversations, was that some of these places are going to be generating their own power. So one of the biggest concerns that I've had for everybody is that if we have to update transmission, update infrastructure, that cost is going to be spread to everybody. But I think that there's ways that the PSC and other regulatory agencies are looking at it so it doesn't bring expenses up for the rest of us. But there are places that are going to come up with their own generation, and I don't know if it's going to be nuclear or what the power generation is going to be, but it does sound like...
If it is nuclear, that'll be a whole lot more issues township-wise and state-wise that we'll be involved in listening to. But
I mean, we're kind of on a new frontier because this is new to us. Like I said, everybody else has had experience. But I don't know what the source of the generation is, but they did speak to places bringing their own power in. So, I think this is something that we're going to have to continue watching and try to get out in front of, and maybe speak with some of those other places to find out what they're doing and get some information from them. But it doesn't sound like it's going to stop at any time soon. But like I said, I was naive to think that North Dakota was the first place that would capture this, and we're definitely not if you've got 200 in one 10-mile radius. So, yes, that's my report from being there. It was interesting to listen to that stuff. I was kind of disappointed in that we didn't hear more information about how to regulate them, and it seemed like it was pretty positive. I think there are other people there that were disappointed that we didn't get the negative impact of it, because it seems like it's all over the nation. We're not the only ones dealing with data centers. I mean, for them to have a national conference and for that to be one of the headlining topics, and it was greatly attended, we're definitely not the only ones dealing with it. So guess that's what I gathered from there. I don't think I have anything else.
No one to add on to that. We're going to see lots of them in Western North Dakota because of the gas, because they can run natural gas to a turbine.
Yeah, and that might be where it's going to come from.
Which can help our budget shortfall we're going to have for oil production being down, and or as we talked about stripper wells today, there's more gas in those stripper wells being pumped than there is oil. So I don't think we're going to stop it.
And
especially on the state level.
I don't know if they're a bad thing. I mean, we're going to have some growing pains. There's growing pains with everything, and especially if we're not used to this. And those companies that are coming in, they're not North Dakota companies. We're not going to get handshake agreements. We're not going to have friendly neighbor situations. Their ideology is different than ours, and there's billions of dollars at play here. So we're probably going to have to kind of be forceful to get them to play by the rules. But I think at some point, once everything catches up, just like the oil situation, it took some time for things to get caught up, but it's not as bad as what people thought it was to start with. So it's going to be a moving target, I think, for a while, but I think that, especially if there's 200 of them that close, I mean, I think that's something that we're going to have to deal with. And like I said, it was well attended by all the states that were there, and there were lots of questions, and it was one of the headlining topics, so it's going to continue forward. On another note, for those of you who are farmers, I guess, I ran into Jared Hagert, who is a representative from Emerito, who just took a job with the USDA out in D.C. He's in charge of ARC and PLC and some of the ad hoc programs, so it's pretty cool that we have someone that's from North Dakota that understands our needs and that's going to be also representing us. I actually spent last Friday afternoon trying to get logged on so I could sign up for my bridge payment, and I spent an hour or two trying it myself and contact my county office trying to work on it, and they couldn't get it figured out. I think probably between them and myself, we probably spent 3 or 4 hours on it. So we gave up on it. I happened to run into him on Sunday night when I was out there. He was all meeting with the lobbyists that we went to a basketball game with. And I told him what was going on. He told me to call him at 7 o'clock when he got to his office on Monday morning. Within 20 minutes, I had a new link so I could get signed up, and I shared it with the local office, and they knew nothing of it. So it was kind of cool to be able to do that, to share that with the local office. So I think it's going to be super helpful to have someone that represents us out there. And to me, he seems like a pretty good guy. I'm guessing there you know him pretty well as well.
Yeah, he's one of my district 20 guys.
And as far as I know, I think he's going to be great for North Dakota out there, so it's pretty cool to see him out there. He was super helpful on Monday morning, that's for sure.
So I was hoping to see him as the next chair of the House Tax Committee.
Well, I think he would have been up the chairs, I think. I think he's a good guy, and I think he's a pretty darn smart guy. Sucks to see him leave our legislator, but it's pretty cool to see the big footprint that he's going to have for us out there.
I thought that link that you sent me?
Yep.
Okay,
moving on. Workshop. I guess first thing I would like to say is thank you, Barb, Larry, Mark, for all the work that you did for these 16 workshops that we put on across the state. I really enjoyed traveling and being a part of them with you guys. Thank you. Larry, you've got anything on your workshops?
Well, we have a different route for future tours. The second week would be better off if we started in Jamestown and worked our way east and then north and then west. We'd end up Devil's Lake and then we get away from that big run across the state at the end.
Is this the backtracking?
Yeah, the backtracking. This Fessenden stop was an add-on thing. We already had the thing laid out to end down in Castleton. And the guy that was the president of the Wells County Association back then got a hold of Kenny Anderson and convinced him that we should come up here for us. One of the workshops at the end. So we came up here for this one, and it just became a tradition. But I think looking at it analytically, it just makes more sense to go the other way and just end up here rather than call it backtracking. Except on the net miles course. There are a lot of technical difficulties. Trying to get Zoom to work, rare when you could have everything working on that.
Zoom and mic battery seem to be the biggest issues.
Yeah.
That Zoom is always giving us trouble.
Yeah, well, we had some really good results midweek until we got to double plate. And then a couple of IT guys got at my computer, and I don't know what the heck they did to it, but it had bad sound on it ever since. Bad sound for the Zoom cast. It's going to have to go through all the internal settings on it to compare it to the other machine and see what's different in it now, because it sure don't work like a crap.
The gal that called me yesterday, she said that the whole thing was just blurry.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear a thing. I mean, so.
Right.
Garbled
and clipped.
Yep.
Maybe for features to prevent that and, time that we do, take your first meeting and do a recording and call it good after that and then just post it on to the website so that people can view it and...
Yeah, well, actually, a better solution would have been if, when I couldn't see to plug my system in the way I wanted to plug it in, I should have just gone out and got my own speaker to log in. Then everything would have worked fine the whole way.
And it would have been quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the end, much faster. But, I asked if there was any way to plug into it, and they came up with this plan, and it just didn't work, and ever since then I had trouble. They worked on it for several hours. So I got there early so we could have it all set up and going, and it just never worked out. But other than that,
other thing, we've got a 2-hour time slot on each of them, and of the 16, there was only one that was under 2.5. So, I mean, we're pretty much at 2.5 or a little more on every one. So. But, we're backed up against county associations having their stuff ahead of us and stuff like that. But.
Well, then you have the whole thing of the... they started their meeting at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and we come on at 1 o'clock, and everybody leaves. But they've been there long enough.
We had, Park River, we were down to, 12 or 14 that stayed, and at the very end it was either maybe down to 8.
Right.
And that was the Delta Association, you know. In Wells County, we didn't have our association until March 11th. And Larimore,
excuse me, that is the one, yes.
Larimore started out full, and they had for 4 hours, and then we started for a cutout.
Yeah, Larimore is where we were down to.
It gets to be too much when they drift, and I know that the counties like to just have one main there.
Do they need a
4-hour
meeting?
Grand Forks, their 4 hours was full from beginning to the end. So I mean, there's a lot of
4 hours.
3 4 hours, yeah. 3.5 4 hours, but and they filled it all, but everyone only had like 15 minutes, and they rolled through it. But they everybody there, the state attorney was there, sheriff's department, highway department. They go through basically all the different, every department we give a talk. So.
And the airport authority is big there.
Yeah, and the airport authority has had a talk in it. So. Well, I think they're open. They started at 8 in the morning when it was 11:30, 12 o'clock. And we started at 1.
See, that's what these counties that don't have a county association, that's the thing they're missing. You know, they say, well, what do we need one for? You know, well, that's what you do. You invite your county personnel in so that they can speak to the council. They don't realize how important it is that connection between the county and township unless they can actually see it, you know, physically.
And most county hours are 2 hours long, and there's another reason to call it the Jason Show, because they used to bring this money from the district clerk, or section. Go from secretary to the highway department to the township, or the staying up there programming myself for a while. Thankfully, Jamie said he'd come in and talk to him, so I'm happy to hear from him.
So I was going to ask about that at this meeting, actually. Is that all right if I go to, if an association wants me to go to a meeting? Is that what you guys want me to do, or how do you want that handled, or do you want me to go like my local association? Do you want me to go to that meeting? What is the expectation of the board?
Well, I've really run into problems with Tom Moore, and that was where, you know, Tom was always good, he would go out. However, then we would get the confusion of the thought that you were, for their dues, they were getting you as a legal attorney, you know. That's a tough one to cross. We want to be seen and heard. However, that's a fine line where we have to deal with, you know. That.
And we have to, I think, we're advertising our legal counsel as education, and this is an opportunity to educate, a very valuable one, but we have to have strict perimeters that it can only, you can't give any written opinion, you can't, you can guide them, you can't say you need, you know, that this is what you're going to do and stuff.
Yeah, I've actually run in that situation now. I'm going to have to go back and re-explain myself. Oh, at McKenzie County, I had someone ask me about his own. I took a look at some zoning documents that they had and told them that there was probably some issues with them in them, and sent it back, and they've now responded and said, hey, are you going to draft this for us? No, that's not what I was going to do. I took a look at it for you, and I had previously explained I'm not their attorney. I'm the attorney for the township, and somewhere there's minds that were confused. So, and I think that happens quite a bit. I mean, that's happened in the 10 years or 13 years I've been state attorney. I get calls from people within the community, and they say, well, you're the state attorney. Why can't I have a land dispute with my neighbor. Can you take care of this for us? No, I can't. I'm the state attorney. I'm not your personal attorney. So I think that there's commonly a misconception for any of us. This one I'm just going to have to go back and do a better job of explaining myself, I guess. But I think I can be, in fact, since I wasn't there for the workshop, it's probably a good idea for me to go up to the Welsh Colony and maybe do the same presentation or have something that I can go speak with them about and answer questions. I don't have any problem doing that, but I think I'm just going to draft a slide that, and most attorneys do have that, is a disclosure that they're not their attorney, that they have legal counsel, they need them to speak with their legal counsel.
And
this is,
you need to kind of put the example out to that. You can't be illegal for them, because now what if you've got a township suing a township?
Right.
It's double standard. Or
well, I just think it's, I mean, I don't think it's ethical for me to be the attorney for the Township Officer Association and then go pick up a bunch of extra jobs. That's not what I wanted to do.
That's where the confusion was always before. And then they always felt that, you know, well, I paid my dues. That's our attorney. That attorney fee should be included in that. No, it's not. Like Dale said, the attorney for the township should be only strictly educational. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you are our...
On the board's representation, board's attorney, not everybody else's. Yeah.
And you could guide them as to what they would need to have their tell their attorney they need or have their attorney, you know, you could guide them that way.
That's what I was going to say. I think you need to change, like, what your education and guidance.
And the other thing is, if a township officer reaches out to you, it shouldn't, I know it's an extra call or an extra text, but it should be a three way. If a township officer reaches out to you, the district director for that area should also be involved in it. So he and this township person could have a talk too. And,
well, we've always tried to,
you know, that's the original format, how it should have been handled, but everybody circumvents it.
Yep. Everyone, we've always tried that.
Yeah.
They just go to that director first. And if that director isn't able to, and then at that point, then they bring you.
Yeah, and I can now being here for the time I've been here, I now understand that, I understand the need for that, because, yeah, I get phone calls, not daily, but every week I get a phone call, and I'm like, man, I don't know who you are, how did you get my number?
Yeah.
I can understand the need for doing that, but I also, on the same side, I also don't want to say, hey, did you talk to your representative first if they've got just a simple question? I feel kind of weird doing that too and saying I really don't want to do my job, but that's not the case. I have got numbers, I've had phone calls, and it's just kind of weird because I haven't, that's the email. I think that's a little bit easier to say, hey, let's talk about this with your representative. But, so I've been careful not to get my phone number out, but there have been people who have gotten a hold of me, which isn't that big a deal. But, yeah, I now understand more so because there might be that misinterpretation that I'm representing them.
The fact of getting the director involved, you know, they're going to contact you and go around us. And they said, either you could shoot them email to the director there, or even encourage that township officer to also, after he's done talking to you, talk to the director, because it could come down now that one of the directors, they might learn something from it, or they may have another township call them, and then they can.
Yeah. Well, that's it helps in education.
Yes, it's this is a big education opportunity.
As long as your directors are aware of it as well.
Yes.
Then everyone learns from it.
You know, I think Kim actually brought up a good point about putting slideshow or putting presentations up. Maybe that's something that I need to work with you guys or look into doing when we have, say we have new legislation that comes out, for the slides show up like this so they can go watch it at their own leisure and they still get the education without. And we want to try to get people to come to workshops, but not everybody can, and they can get some education. I don't mean to continue taking pages out of the Association of Counties, but they do have an ILG set of courses where once a month, or depending on what kind of issues are coming forward, they put a half hour or 15 minute webinar on for everybody and distribute that to everybody that's a member. So I don't know if that's something that maybe I should look at doing when there's a topic that comes up, or maybe just going back and
those can kind of be used for Township Tuesday talks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, when I first started, because I was, that's what I thought it was, that Tom was their attorney. So we changed that around, so everybody knows that, no, you're still going to have to go to an attorney if it comes to that point.
Yeah.
We need generalities and things, but you don't have an attorney through the association, you don't have an attorney through the paper truth topic. When I ask them questions, when I have different things that come up, they're still going to have to go get an attorney for it. Some people have issues with it, but it is what it is. It's just that way. And for a chain of command, I don't think anybody should be really reaching out to the GE without going to the director.
Well, yeah, and I would recommend that people are calling you, that you schedule a time for a return call with the director of that district on the phone, because that protects you. You have an extra person, and there's no confusion on what's said. and move, you know, go forward on that.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Is your phone number
even
on the webpage, is it?
I don't think so. I don't think it is. I think
it's just... I know Tom
keeps
forgetting
it. I don't think
your
email even is.
I don't think my email even is. No, but... And it's not... And I've had people call it Tony, and that's fine, but I have no idea how people have got my cell phone, which is kind of interesting. Like, hey, how you doing? But yeah, I've had some people calling my cell phone, which is fine. But yeah, I haven't circulated it by any means. Okay. No.
Well, that's how I would just direct going forward. If somebody reaches out to the email, give it any response, copy the director, and if they call, you know, and there is going to be communication to set up a time where you can conference call in your director and that individual group. So it protects all parties.
The only other comment I have on the workshops, and I know we needed to have already at our third quarter meeting in September started having to have the other stuff in place and stuff, and you had already early in at our December meeting and said you had the previous commitment here, but we cannot go to another workshop tour like we did and not have that many meetings without the attorney actually there presenting. That cannot happen.
I agree with that.
The next will be 2028, February will be the next set again, and yeah, we cannot go through another workplace one like we did this year.
No, it is specific in the contract, obligations of the contract that workshop crews are
in. And you won't find an argument from me. I now understand that it's going to be 2 weeks. You're going to be opposing 2 weeks, likely the second and fourth week, which now I will just set aside.
I mean, yeah, it's understandable that you might miss a day that you can't, but yeah, so we cannot run these workshops, this many of them, without an actual person there.
That's it. By the time we press that zoom up and we get that connection, and if we have a problem with the connection, you lose half your
people. Yes.
They're tired. They're not
tired. And the thank you that I sent out to Nathan and Deb Hart, they drove to Devil's Lake because they thought you were going to be at the meeting there, and then they came today because you were here. So.
Okay. Well, first of all, you don't follow things as well on Zoom. I agree and understand with that 100%. It just isn't there. I've been plenty of Zoom presentations. I know all that. It's the second and fourth week, and those weeks will just be blocked off my calendar.
Depending on weather, you know, a guy may have to shift the week or something, but like I said, you have to know that February is every other year, so 28. That is going to be the workshop one. Legislative, Larry. If nobody else has anything on workshop, Barb, Mark? One other thing, okay.
People that came up to reach out to me after them that were wishing we would start possible 3%. But they're hoping that we talk about the 3% caps and all those issues and that it wasn't as red. Everyone I talked to liked the fact that we had the attorneys there. It wasn't resumed with Tom or Jamie. All of them appreciate having that access to them for listening to it that way. So I know it gets to be a problem with the technology side, but people did talk for it. Those are the two biggest comments that I had. And they loved seeing the picture so they could really see what a section line was and a minimal manuscript from Mark. So those are really the three topics that were brought to me. There's so much confusion with the 3%.
I just got an email at 1 o'clock today from my auditor. Her and I work very close together regarding that 2% cap, and she was just wondering. There was an email sent out from the North Dakota Association of Counties And was wondering if Indian Fieldway got that, and if we were going to spread that information out to the township. So, I don't know. Did you get anything, Larry, by chance?
I'm not sure. The last few days I've gotten a lot of emails. But
okay. Okay. Well, and I can forward this to you, too. It comes from Linda. So,
Do you know who the email came from, specifically from the association?
From Linda Stilholvik.
My Holvik? Yeah. Yeah. I can call.
It's where it came from.
I've had emails from Linda and a phone call the other day. We talked for quite a while ago.
Because I know that that's, it's very, I just did training in Ward County, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and they were all concerned about that. But at that time, they didn't really know enough about that 3%. You know, so, I mean, she didn't answer a lot of questions. She just said, you know, do what you normally do, and if there's something we got to change, we'll change it later, you know.
Yeah.
So, but.
She was kind of indicated it wasn't going to affect her.
It wasn't going to affect us, you know.
A lot of
a lot. It was more counties and. So.
I think you have to build it back up.
If you're at the 18 mils, it affects every township that's at the 18 mils, right?
Yeah, well, yes, you can increase your levy by 3%. Of whatever the dollars were you collected last year. So if your value goes up, you may not be able to levy more dollars than what you did last year. So, and then you may be short of 18 mil, so you won't qualify for the prairie dogs or the flex fund.
So probably should be sharing this too. I learned this at our last commission meeting in Griggs County, that funding for the flex fund from our engineer from KLJ said that MSD had money in the game. Though applications where there wasn't some sort of match, they weren't selected. It seemed like everybody that had some funds that were committed to those projects, they got the projects.
That was asked today by a township officer, right directly to Representative Robin Wise, and Robin Wise said that they will be going to the DOT and getting some clarification as to what's going on there, because that was not the intent of the legislature.
The matching fund is not a requirement, but it's a bonus one. We tell people that it will really help letters of support and a little bit of local money, possibly even some contributions from outside sources, anything to show support. It doesn't have to be a huge amount of money, but just something to show that there is local support.
Mark, yeah. You had something on the workshop.
I just wanted to thank everybody that helped me for these last 2 weeks when I'm running around here with my bad wind and can't lift or carry anything or do my part, and I just wanted to thank everybody that helped.
Oh, and I would thank all the directors too for the meetings in your districts that you filled in on and represented in your district too. The only other thing, you know, we've kind of always wanted to be a fly on the ceiling in Barb and Mark's vehicle when they are out driving. It's dead silence. I rode from region to field. It's silence. That's all I have. Legislative Larry.
Okay, I've been invited to testify on the tax reform and release committee on March 17th. They want information on the effects of the 3% cap on townships, how many townships were affected by it? Like, who's going to tell us?
Few auditors will know. I mean, that was one thing that Julie did talk to us about at our meeting, was because of the 3% and with levies of evaluations of homes, like what they have them set at, there are going to be a few townships that will drop below the 18, which will be a problem. So, I mean, like she said, it's almost like you're better off trying to get to your 20 mil, so you have a little bit of leeway in there that it doesn't knock you below your 18. That is one thing that is going to affect them.
Well, there are a lot of controls that the land taxes are going to go up this year, no matter what. Well, I talked about that.
I don't know why they don't push my lawyers in this town.
Lately, because there weren't going to be any changes. I think the main thing that I want to tell them is that you guys got to make up your mind. Are we supposed to cut taxes, or are we supposed to tax ourselves to show local contribution to our transportation system? A minimum of 18 mils. Can't be on both sides of that.
No, that was brought up today. One township had said they were trying to be, you know, do right by their residents and not tax that 18 mil. However, the state basically forces them to do that.
And then they make it so, you know, it's impossible to know that you're at 18 mil until it's too late.
Right.
So, you almost have to have the expanded levy ability, and then get it up to 20 something just to make sure you don't fall out. And of course, when you tell them that, you know, they're gonna have to have an election to expand their authority to go to 36, then we'll get the odds. Upset about, we can't levy 36, well, you're not going to, you're just raising the limit. The actual levy is set by your budget that you vote on each year at your annual meeting. So, they don't understand that really.
But the farms they're all set up so that if you do want to go to 36, then you have to put on there what that number would be, right? What the dollar value is. Because I too know of townships that, well, let's move our limit, but we don't need all of it.
Right.
It just gives us the flexibility, but then that number goes on all the farms and people think their taxes are going to double.
Well, but when you submit, I mean, we levied up to 36 and you have to vote on that every, but we're only levering, what our budget was, we actually are only at 31. Like 31.2, actually.
Okay.
So, I think we need to track dollar amount and not mils on that, because that's how when you request your budget, your auditor comes back and, I mean, we were fairly large budget and we're still not even at the 36 that could be allotted, right? We haven't asked that. We're not going to be that. We don't need that. You know what I mean?
Right. But what I'm saying is that on the forms where you and the advertisements that you make in order to go to that extra levy, that if your goal is to expand your levy to the 36 mil, even if you don't need it, just to give yourself the flexibility. If you put down a number on your advertisement or your form that is, instead of 36, it's 27 or 32, then that is what your limit is set, correct?
It probably would be if that's what you're advertising.
So
it really doesn't say that in law to do that, right? Because it just says that you're you're going to allow that you can back up to another 2 mil.
You have to actually put your dollar amount in,
right?
On that. So.
The dollar amount for the full.
Well, for whatever you want from those people.
Right.
But yeah. if you get it for the full 36, it doesn't mean you have to.
But that first year it is, right?
The first year, right?
Yeah. Right.
The first year it will be.
When we raised ours, we didn't quite do it that way. We figured out what we needed. More, and then we levied it at 32 mil. So, and there was an improvement that for Portland State.
That's what we did ours too. We didn't talk so much mil, we talked more about budget, and it worked out to be that 31.2 or 32.2, whatever, but. The other thing that, you know, you have the availability to go from, say, 36 to 25, and that time frame you can go up and down, but then you're going to have to be careful if anybody does that, because a 3% cap is really going to hurt you at that point.
I also had some people talk about the fact that they went to 36 last year, and now they were thinking that they were still going to be over the 3% cap, so they were going to have to advertise again. And we're wondering if that was going to make people crabby.
Did they use the advisory book?
I don't know the answer to that. And it's a different kind of requirement for them because they're not fighting with the 18. So maybe it's actually not even a valid question. I don't know, but it was a conversation that I had.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some calculations and analysis needed. That was back at, there's a difference in handling between the part of the levy that was established prior and what has been established in the prior population.
I'm sorry?
If you now go to expand your levy from 18 to 36 now, and you add a few more mills or a few more thousand, the amount that you had previous has a different calculation than the added dollars.
Oh, because it pulled in the years prior?
Yeah.
Okay. So then that would put you way over, even if you were 3% over 36, you'd be a lot more than 36 according to the other 3%.
There are factors for added property value and lost property value.
We're just trying to get moving on the next one. We're going to be here all night.
Yeah.
Proposal for a legislative handout to the new, for the legislature's list.
Yesterday, well, I've been thinking I needed something more for a handout when we got the booth set up. The stuff we got is outdated. And yesterday I got an idea when Senator Wildman talked about what would be helpful for new legislators to be a handout from the township. What is the township? How do they work? Stuff like that. And I thank him for that suggestion, and I would really like to see some help with the artwork on that. Because I'm just kind of a plain facts guy. I just work in block letters. And
who was the, this Adam, he was with the highway department out there yesterday that was going to compile those figures for you?
Oh, yeah, the Johnson County. He had a whole bunch of figures, you know, ag volume out of that county, and loads of rock that were taken out of there for the farmer diversion, and it was basically the economy starts on township roads at this point.
take better care of them.
Big thing.
Help funding them.
Make it small, make it very fascinating, so you don't bore them to death is kind of what we're shooting for.
Larry, wasn't that basically what you had when you did that handout for, I believe it was Township 101? You had that booklet that explained.
I didn't have that as a booklet. It was the slideshow.
Oh.
PowerPoint.
I must have printed it off.
I've
got it as a package. To me, that was a lot of good information, you know. And I know that you presented it at the legislative session at that time as a slideshow.
That's something we'll be able to work on throughout the summer here and get it going so we've got it ready when the legislative session starts.
And I know that time too. I think that really helps a lot of the new legislators understand what's coming.
And that's where this generated from. I was telling Julie that I had kind of got up and gave a little speech that when we went to the last Capitol Connection, the one young senator that was in the room with us there, that he was telling us the number of new legislatures that were asking him, what are townships? What do they do? What's their purpose? So that's kind of where this generated off of.
Yep.
And that's when Senator Wobbleman finally kind of acknowledged that he was in the room and stood up, because nobody had mentioned that he was even there or anything when we come in and introduced him or nothing.
Yeah, well, I've never seen him wearing a cap. He's camouflaged.
Okay, communications. Larry, appoint their board election mayor.
Okay, a couple of things here. When we were up at the as the county engineers conference, ran into Keith Peets at Missouri, and he tossed an idea at me. It's a very early thought. It hadn't even gone through the legal yet, but it was one of Keith's brainchild. It's driving them nuts dealing with all these townships. His thought is perhaps instead of writing individual policies for townships, it could be a blanket policy for any COA, and townships that are members could be covered. You know, the legal lessons, yeah, you can work out. They probably have to get some legislative changes made too. I said, well, that'd be interesting. For one thing, it would give us one of the things we don't have now, a golden hook. Something they have to come to us for. And, of course, then their dues would reflect the addition of their premium. And you could get a handle on that.
The
country's
premium is kind of a flat rate, or is that very
where
you are?
Okay. And that's one of the things that drives them nuts. Their agents really don't like it. They have an account that earns them a $36 commission.
So what are the premiums for townships? Are they a set premium?
$270, $280, something like that.
I was thinking that ours was 300. 400.
Yeah,
I
think ours
is 300 or 400.
So it's
not enough money for those individual agents to have to deal with.
No. I actually think that's a great idea for a couple of reasons. I think it also forces townships to engage, because many are not. And
and then and to be involved so that we can be involved with them, and it may organize a few more and or increase their communication. But there's a lack of, I actually can see that as a benefit for the organization in a lot of ways.
Well, for one thing, they would have to pay their dues on time, and they would have to register all their officers and their contact information when they do that. So we could get it all put together.
So we could chase the township to get them to pay that part on top of their dues. Right now, the Secretary for the Washington Township Officers Association is chasing them from beginning to end until March.
And that's kind of what it would end up to. But then you're going to have townships or counties that don't have a county organization, but we sure as the state board cannot possibly even think about chasing them down. It's got to start at the county level of getting them.
Well, I think this is a serious matter that if you want insurance, you're going to have to do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, logistically, who's going to collect the money? Is that going to be, I mean, I understand we will be, but will the townships be sending out the bills, and will Barb be the one that's tasked with calling whoever doesn't pay their dues to get coverage?
This program is, like I said, very early on, and you have to analyze just how much more work it's going to be, how much more dollars we're going to have. It may require a full-time person just to do that. If there's a gas flow to support that, that's what it is.
Yeah,
I think there would be taxes. They already have a number of houses that are activated in here, or protest mode, whatever the case may be. But again, I think that, we talked about engagement, some of the, I'm big on not some of the way to engage our people. And yeah, if we have to hire somebody to keep track of it, on whatever.
It may require a full-time person, Mary's right, because your agent with the Earth is still the first point of contact when you make a claim. That's who they want to hear from, right? That's who they want you to contact is your agent. So you would have to have someone that's the contact person, or maybe it goes directly through the Earth at that point. But that's who, even if you contact the claims adjusters first, you still have to contact your agent.
No problem.
What does that
change in the environment of the company and paying the salary? We don't know any of that yet. Okay. Over details. I don't know why I just put in the number 1350 times 36, that's not quite 49,000. I know that 1350 is the right number of houses.
So, one thing, there's a wrestling list where you can confirm it on the chat, confirm it check. We've got a big pile of those things. It's a problem for them.
Uncashed confirmant check?
Right.
Okay.
The problem seems to be they depend on the address that the agents provide for the clerk of the township. And they don't update that if the clerk is misdirected or dies or moves away. But they keep on sending to that address. You can't even get it out of on-site property because it's got a bad address on it. You gotta apply for that address.
It is a big struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a clerk treasurer in Moore County that she has, there's a neighbor that used to be the clerk treasurer, but that's where all the paperwork goes. Now that's been sold and there's somebody else living there, and so she goes and knocks on the door and asks if there's been any mail, because she knows they will not change that, you know. It's a hard, what do you do?
Who's the they that won't change it? The agent?
Yeah, they don't get it changed properly. So
okay,
it's delivered to...
They don't change your agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't get changed.
It doesn't have any
problem. It's crazy. But I suppose that's what they're used to, old school, you know?
We've gotten stuff in our township from them and some stuff with the state that still goes to Gary, and Lisa's been our clerk for 3 years, and Larry's retired, but it goes to his house, and he calls and tells us they still get your mail.
Would it work for them just to send it to those 20 auditors?
That would be my suggestion, that that could be sent to the
auditors. I think that would be...
forward to the current clerk.
Yeah, I think that would be the simplest. They're the ones that are there and they can contact them.
Thankless, that would force the county auditor to keep up their mailing list.
Yeah.
They don't know either.
But some of them don't.
Some of them are 2 years behind.
Three.
Well,
you're not
going to get
a county auditor
to want to
take on the
job.
No.
That's
really
easy.
Especially not right now with this.
Yeah.
Capital.
Yeah. That are... the auditors on the treasurer's mind are not in place in both positions. Our auditor, we're on our third auditor in 4 years in Wolf County. That would be, they don't have the staffing to do that. So I don't see the auditors wanting to take that on a county basis at all. To push it on to directors, and for us, then I'm just going to be chasing each county work with township officers, and I have a hard enough time chasing 36 sometimes just in Walsh County to get different things done. And you give them the paperwork and somebody gives me the updated list, so we can have, I can have an updated list, and we can't get it updated for those times in our own meeting.
Well, we fight the townships, I have always fought the townships, the counties to get their budgets in time. I probably wouldn't work, but that would be, I mean, that would be the easiest thing for them to do, is to get it to the townships, and this would be the time to do it, if I'm at the meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, that might just put enough workload on the other auditors if they're not
going
to.
No. We have auditors that don't want to do nothing with the ATLR either, now, you know. So why would they want to do any more, you know? There's some that are really good, but then we got some that aren't.
Right.
So.
Okay, we need to move on here to board election.
Okay, I was contacted this last week by Vernell Johnson from Tuttle, North Dakota. He has been on the Earth Board on the other category. And he is up for election, in terms of expiry. And the park district have put up a candidate against him. If he loses, townships will have zero representation, and the park district will have two. So, thinking we need probably a benefit to support for Bill Johnson on that, and I'll just put out a letter encouraging township officers to actually cast their ballot rather than throwing them away when they get in the mail.
When does that one particular person typically come?
Shortly, the election is in May at the annual meeting. Not for what position? The Coast Insurance Reserve Fund Board.
Is Riddell running for that meeting?
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is? Okay.
He will run one more time, so.
So that's another place that hopefully we can find somebody that could be possible to replace it in the future, because they don't have anybody else who has come to visit on the board. And as it is, that they're, you know, continually back and forth on the board.
Do we have a motion out there to have Larry draft a letter up, or that we can get sent out to the townships? Because we're going to need to get this done like very fast, and you've got other stuff. But if we're going to go and do a mailing, that's going to take out postage and stuff. We're going to need a motion to do this.
So,
and moved by Lee to have Larry put a letter together to send out to the townships encouraging them to vote for Burdell Johnson. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion passes. Larry will get a letter that we can get out to them. Old business.
Can I have one communication, Mr. President?
Yes.
Larry, did you get my note? It's been a while, Larry. I know you've been busy, but I had sent you an email about regaining the zoning authority. I got a call from a township in McLean that they want to organize. And two of the questions were number one, and it's been an unorganized township since like 1904 or something. He said it was only organized for 2 years. So would they have actually given up that zoning authority within that time period, or did that come later when the townships actually signed that out away?
So zoning in North Dakota, the townships began in the 70s.
So
wouldn't have been anything before that.
If they reorganized, does their zoning automatically come back with them?
No.
They have
no. They will have to enter into a joint powers agreement with the county.
Okay.
Get it back.
You get it back.
They would have been non-existent to have it to have given it up. So they would. Since the county has it, they didn't exist. They couldn't have given it up, but they don't have it because the county has it.
Next question he had was, if you go to that procedure when they talk about the petition of the zoning commissioners by 25% of qualified electors that voted in previous gubernatorial general elections, how did you get that information? Do they just take that residents out of the township, they go to the auditor and ask who or how many voted in that township, or how is that determined that they can get those numbers?
The auditor should have those numbers to provide to them.
The residents of that township.
They still should be able to narrow that down to that township. I know when I do my petition, I don't ever figure all I have to do is 17, but the auditor comes up with that number based off of the stuff that she can look up. So I would guess they would be able to just narrow down to that township, but that should come from the auditor. Or and if they can't figure out, they can contact the Secretary of State.
Larry, do you remember the name of that other township or the fellow that did that one by the Takakuya? If you want to just make a note and you got that written down somewhere. That wasn't that long ago. I don't think that they reorganized that one.
Did they actually follow through on that?
What's up?
They have
there. Maybe I'm wrong.
Sure, the county had a couple of them, but I didn't know there was any up there.
Uh, I thought McLean County had that one, and maybe it never went through. Maybe they just talked about it.
Oh.
I've not heard of it.
Yeah, I don't along the way there.
That's a key call. It was just out of here, and that they had talked about reorganizing. I thought that went through. So.
Yeah, it's like right on the outskirts of the other side, right?
It would have been right on the edge of the lake.
Is that not
the city.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong then. I thought they were on the right on the edge of right on the one of the developments right on the edge of the lake.
Okay, well, it's been a while. Maybe it's clear as far as I can recall.
Okay, that's all I
know. Okay. Standing committees, I passed the sheet around of what I had set up. Everybody can kind of look at those. If you have any questions, just reach out to me.
Motion to accept.
I have a question.
Yes.
With the workshop committee, we had Tom Moe on those and on these different things?
Yep.
I didn't think we had Tom underneath the contract, so I was just wondering how that
Tom happened. Is still with us under the educational and workshop.
Okay, so how do you pay for a sense that he's not under the attorney payment and we pay for any?
We've got him budgeted in.
Okay.
Is
there a loan?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been moved to accept the standing committee. Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? I said if you got some concerns, call me, reach out to me. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion passes. The auditor RFP. Did everybody get a chance to look at the one that Jamie did resend here?
No,
I think it just went to Larry and you, Dale. And
all right.
Oh, I'm not sure if it went out to everybody else.
Did you say you sent it out to
everybody? No. I said Jamie had sent it. I just assumed Jamie sent it to everybody because I just printed it off on what he sent.
So I did make the draft. I went back through. There were a couple of changes. I even ran through ChatGPT that you had suggested. I did. There were a couple that I did not change. Other ones I understand the reason for the changing. So I made the grammatical changes that were suggested. And I guess I think that was the majority of the changes, or the changes that were supposed to be made to the document.
Did you send
them, Jamie? I already sent it again, right? No, let's see.
Copy
around here. Well,
as
long as Lee's got it on the calendar,
whatever.
All right. I can look at it on my phone, too. All right. It's old. Mm-hmm.
Larry, we've already had a motion and everything on it for us to pick this up. We're going to go with it and just be sent out then, right?
So
I'll do
our motion to accept this?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Did you guys have to take a look at any changes?
No, I thought it was fine.
There's a SageNet guest property that I am automatically connected to too.
So, while we're on this subject, is everybody getting the email on Gmail?
I'm not. So,
okay.
I'll have to work with Larry or somebody to get that squared away.
The Gmail account. Are you getting the
MDPOA?
Yeah, the MDPOA.
Gmail will work out.
Mine isn't.
Okay.
Yours might just be automatically going in there. Outlook from a Gmail account.
It could be.
And that's where mine come into is Outlook. But some of the stuff that Larry just sent through the other one, I haven't been receiving there.
Okay.
The
MBTOA
will
help. Yeah, like the Danish stuff, that's
in
there. I haven't looked at my computer since last Sunday.
I got an email from Larry on it after I reset, because I couldn't get access. After I got access, I think I'm getting on my email.
There isn't very many. So
no.
That's what I was wondering. I kept emailing myself. Trying to make sure it works.
The info packet for this meeting I sent to both addresses.
Through the
Gmail.
Which
one?
The
Gmail
link.
You got
to go to the Gmail one.
Yeah, your
ranch.
I sent it to your
ranch
one, yeah.
For sure.
I'll make the motion to accept it and get it on the
right thing. Is there a second? Then moved and seconded to get the attorney RFE sent out. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way.
I am, because I can't read it.
Here, I can just bring my laptop too.
Do you want the original copy?
Larry, the email address I should ask you, is that the right one, larry.ndtoa@gmail, or do you want your other one?
larry@ndtoa.
Okay. I'll make that change.
It really doesn't matter. They both go together.
Okay. It looks more formal right there. You got NDTOA.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that set up and verified to the point that I can do mass emailing from it and accept it. Hopefully, I can get away from it using constant contact. Okay. I don't know if I get the volume out of it or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I don't know how this is done, but like the prosecutors, we all receive, it's just that two prosecutors, and it just, it goes out to all the prosecutors that are in on this serve. Is there some way that you could do that, just so you can serve it to all the township officers instead of having individually typed email addresses in?
I don't really know how that could operate.
So if I, all I have to do is just type in prosecutors, I'll look and see what it even is.
You
just
got to create a folder with all the email addresses.
Well, but it's not my folder. It must be a web address.
I've tried that with my work county house, and that does not work, because if they have an SRT or a reservation telephone or a Policom or whatever it is, the telephone company will shoot it back.
So on our prosecutors, it's just prosecutorsndaco.org, so it must do so there's a list somewhere that just goes out to everybody. So all I have to do is type in one email address, and you don't have to worry about missing anybody. So I don't know if that's something that can be done through the website, or people can register that way, but that would make it really easy for you.
Yeah, it would. I'm sure we get a lot of resistance to that from the group.
Okay.
No, but it would be helpful. I mean, save you
the motion to send that has passed. Santa Fica.
Are you okay with it, Nelly?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. I just got the material from Santa Fica. I have not had a chance to go over it.
All right. Is there a motion to table action on this until the next quarterly meeting?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
And moved in to table this for the next quarterly meeting. Any discussion? Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion to table passes. Who made the motion on that?
Jim.
Second was? All right. Livestock Summit.
Okay, Dale, Lee, and I were attending the Livestock Summit. Good turnout there. While I was there, I had a discussion with Amber and the Woods. Said that we were considering doing some more training at our annual convention and possibly involve something like a zoning commission meeting. And I raised the possibility of maybe a conditional use hearing, like for a feedlot or a dairy, something that we could work together with the Livestock Association Alliance to put together. She's excited to help us with that. It's possible for some training for our convention.
I think that'd be a good idea to keep us out of some litigation. Because if the things aren't done right, there's enough money involved. I actually drove by, there's a dairy going in down by Kent, Minnesota. I drove by that yesterday. And on our way back, we dropped someone off, and there's like a 12,000 cow dairy going in. By the time they get started on that stuff, when they're on a site, someone screws up the permit hearing for zoning, they're going to put the money in suing, because there's just so much money involved in that stuff that they're gonna pursue something. So I think that'd be a good idea to get some information out there so people follow the right way. And I would guess that maybe even the VERF would be willing to put some money in that, I bet, so it's done the correct way, so they don't have to defend a bunch of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that there?
No, that was all on there.
All right, and we can,
Was it a good turnout to the booth?
Yes.
Not exactly, or really, but, you know, it's kind of a, you scratch on my back, I'll scratch yours. They come to our convention, so we kind of got to go to theirs, you know, and set up.
I think we have a lot of good advertising support. And it was important that we were there.
Yep.
Because of the fact that during the seminars and such, I mean, they referred to us, you know, as a township, county, and such. And made sure that they knew that we were there. So,
oh.
I think it was money well spent. I mean, yeah, I know what they're saying, the booth was low, but yet the recognition that we got for being there and being part of it, you know, of that whole thing,
was
worth a whole lot more than what we
far did. Out roughly are we going to have to make a commitment? When are they going to need a commitment? To do this, you know, I'm assuming they're going to want.
I think they'd be pretty flexible, honestly.
So we can kind of.
We'll just work on it.
Work on it. All right. Anything else on that? If not, North Dakota County Engineering Conference.
Well, Jason and I were at that. And, we had some good conversations with, after I had talked to the group, over there, and, had some discussions with, Aaron Burns and, other county people, so. There again, the booth traffic wasn't real heavy, but some people did come and search the calls. There's some questions and things. So.
I didn't spend time at the booth, but I had lots of people hitting me up asking me how the Downspot Association could help get the county some funding out of having to do all the flex funds stuff. Because all the flex funds stuff has to go through the county highway superintendent and county engineers. Basically, you're happy. You're stuck because DOT doesn't want to do a contract with every township, and they're only going to do it through the county and with the pass through. So, still wondering how, if there's anything that we can do to help them get some sort of stuff for their time out of it.
There should be, because that's the counties that are helping are very good. And then maybe that would be an incentive for those counties that won't help. Maybe they
kick
up a little bit of help.
That's the only question I had out of it. How can you get something out of it?
But if that's going to be something though, that's going to have to come out of legislative session,
I almost think it has to, because there's nothing really in there for administration, you know, for anything in the application. I mean, the engineering companies, they can get their stuff out of it for getting paid. For their portions and their time that they're putting into it, I mean, rightfully so, because some of the engineering firms are willing to go out and help people beforehand to give them some estimates and do some different things. So, and get real estimates. Some of them are doing it for free, and some of them are doing it for minimal, some of them are doing it for regular. And that's just those engineering firms' priorities, and that's the way it is, and I have nothing against that. But then they can get money for it afterwards for all the contracting and still stuff that stuff comes from the county. So,
I would say that should be something that we look forward ahead on and try and work on something for the upcoming legislative session.
Well, does Wallace have a planning and zoning office?
Yeah, out of our auditor's office, they do planning and zoning. But they don't do anything for helping the township up these roads or getting some special stuff. That's basically comes through my office.
all that. DOT will get the email, and I do all the permits and those three things, so I'll be helping write the specs for it, and get those things taken care of, and then I do the project. All the billing goes through our office. So, and some towns don't have highway superintendents, so everything goes through the auditor's office. So.
Did I hear you say that they can get some money afterwards? Or what do you know?
The engineers can. But the county, like my office, won't get anything. I'll just put time in for helping run it, do the contract, run payroll through ours, do all the reimbursements, and just get refunded to us. We're basically pass-throughs for it. And it's great because our townships are getting some funding, and it's great for the county because the townships are getting funding and getting things taken care of. But it's just one more thing that's getting passed from the state to the county to the township side. And same with, the end of the year with having to certify the budget. Well, one more thing, the county for chief to get that money to get it certified so they get it turned in time. So there's going to be a lot more pushback from the county side on those type of things, but are getting pushed down where they're having to find funding and the time to do that.
What we call unfunded mandate.
Yep. One more.
Anything else on the engineer contract? DOT transportation conference.
I think we need to reach out to Jim on that. On that transportation conference. Because I think Gerald would line up to sit on a roundtable discussion.
I guess that I wasn't aware of.
Yep. So we better reach out to Jim to make sure. What they needed was they wanted a township officer that contracted through the county to do the work. And we advertised for one, we looked for one, and we couldn't find a Gerald that their township had, so I don't know if he's still willing to do it, to sit on that round table or not.
If Gerald would be.
Yeah.
I would doubt it. I got an email from him the other day that he is not running the township, and he is not going to run for our township association either.
Okay.
So I think he's giving everything up.
That's what I'm afraid of, and I don't want to leave her hanging because that's...
What is Jenny, what was your last name?
All contracts.
Okay, all right.
In Bismarck, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but he does
but that we were looking for someone, and it's been quite a while when we looked to make sure that they needed it lined up so they had it scheduled. And Dana Larson was going to be on it for the counties. I don't remember who else, but Gerald had said he would do it for the townships. And I don't know, myself, I don't know of any. Most of our townships up in our area all run by the contractors. And they need a township officer that contracts through the county so they can discuss that portion of how that works.
Well, so I'll be down there for radiation service for about the whole month.
Do you work through the county?
Oh, yeah. Everything contract, everything through there.
Okay. Well, that's...
What time is it to go for my radiation is 8:15 in the morning, 8:45 in the morning.
What time that starts or what?
I'll give you a timeline for your...
Let me know, Larry.
Yeah.
I'll be down there.
Okay.
You and you would be interested in doing that
for us? Something to do.
Okay.
Well, that's just so we don't leave any
time. Yep. Yeah. All right.
Can you go both days?
Yeah.
What day is it?
Which day is it?
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think it was only one day. That portion of
the program. Well, what are you telling?
You work through the counties as well? Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, why can't he can? Whatever.
I can't make it on the 11th.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's where our convention is.
Okay. Yeah, just so we know that we have somebody there to represent the fellowships, that we don't leave the county hanging, you know, with that. Because they needed that. It was quite a while ago that they set that up and needed to have commitment that we were going to be there.
All right.
Your agenda is posted.
Let me know. Let Tom and I know. We can figure it out.
Say which date, Jim.
Trying to fly through it quickly here. Partnership contracts with local government. Dana's on that one. And Jim Neubauer from the city of Mandan, but it does the same day from the townships. It must be on the Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon at 2:00.
That's the 11th.
Tuesday is the 11th. Okay, moving on. Scanner for bills, Barbie, you can't already address that, and let's hear something else. Okay. New business.
I'll look into picking up the scanner.
All right.
Over.
Okay. New business. Appointment, District 2 Director. Had a couple candidates that are willing to do it. Christy Jager has expressed interest in the position, and
I would like to nominate
Debbie Reinowski.
She's from Animoose Township, McHenry County. I think she'd be very good at it.
Debbie
Reinowski.
We have a motion to nominate Debbie Reinowski. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? I would like to say, for probably about the last, I would say getting very close to 20 years, District 2 has been represented very heavily by basically three counties, Wells, Benson, and Ramsey. So it would really be nice to get over to the western side of the district from Pierce or McHenry or some of the other counties in the district.
I can't remember. McHenry told me how many years it had been since they had a representation there. And it was from when Mark Shipley was the last one that was there.
Yeah.
So, and that was last year when Dale and I went up to Julie. I don't remember how many years that's been there.
And before Benson County, that Ralph Olson, how many years was Ralph on? It's been well over 20 years that all the representation in District 2 has been over on the east side of the district. Is there any other discussion? We'll do a roll call vote for Deb as the District 2 Director.
I do have a question. If you asked for nominations and there was a motion, or did I misunderstand?
Julie moved to nominate Deb Reinowski.
And what happened was, you mentioned Christy Yeager.
Christy Jagger.
She sent out an email to all of us.
She had sent emails out, yes.
So,
but we have a motion in a second, and we've had discussion on it. Roll call vote on it. Let's do a vote.
Kim?
No.
It's Kim.
Yep.
Jason?
I'm going to go no.
Leon?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Kim?
No.
Julie?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Gail?
Yes. Debbie Reinowski will finish out the term that I vacated till the annual meeting in December. The motion passes.
How is that spelled?
It's Reinowski.
Thank you.
Yep.
Can you give me contact information?
Yes, I can. Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure if she wants to go by Deborah, Debbie, or Deb. So,
next, report from Tim on a couple of public service commission hearings that he sat in on involving the electric lines down there. If you could kind of give us a little bit of a summary or take on it, Tim.
So, the hearing was. Actually, the Public Service Commission commissioners were there, and the hearing started out with the attorney for the power line company, for the applicant, asking scripted questions of an engineer answering top of the script. And that was probably 15 or 20 minutes at least, and they didn't vary from that script. At all. It was a little goofy that way. The commissioners would periodically ask questions. The engineer was very uncomfortable whenever he was to answer a question possibly. Then the bottom line about the opposition, it has turned into an exceptionally emotional thing. Of the focus you haven't helped. And there was a lot of testimony that talked about the companies the applicant that things changed after they made their initial contacts. And of course Applied Digital being in Illinois hasn't helped that situation. I did have an opportunity to talk to Mike Brandenburg, and I told him, we had a good conversation, but I was firm, and I told him that the situation that we're in right now with the relationship in Ellendale with Applied Digital and the relationship along this power line with the power companies that are doing it. I said, you know what? All of this angst, that's hard on you, because you're in a spot to force the applicant to be respectful of the process. And the over and over again, the people that were testifying that were against it would talk about, we no longer have any trust. It's not that it was like that at the beginning. We now no longer have any trust. And so, there was a lot of talk about township township self-governance and standing up for the township and blah, blah, blah. So I did not in Ellendale, which was on Monday, but I did towards the end of the day on Wednesday go and testify. And I'll go a little bit from my notes here from when I did that. I talked about the fact that township supervisors are tasked with the governance of their 36 square miles, and they try to do the best they can by those residents. And I talked about the fact that when the companies are using these roads, you know, that if it needs a lot of gravel, it can be up to $15,000 a mile for gravel. And townships, typically a lot of townships in that area would have a $35,000-$40,000 budget. And then I also pointed out that, yes, 1258, I'm pretty sure it was 1258, required contractual haul road agreements between the contractors, the companies, and the local government. And I pointed out that, yeah, that's great, but if someone doesn't honor that contract, the only recourse that the township has is to hire an attorney and sue them. And on a $30,000-$40,000 budget, that can't happen. And so the townships are going to get run over. I also pointed out, because a comment was made by one of the commissioners about how frustrating it is for these companies to come out into the country and there's such a variable ordinance. And I said, you know, I understand that that's the frustration, that you don't know what you're dealing with, but I can tell you that the opposite is to have that dictated to us instead of giving us the authority to act how we believe our local township should be run. And I said, so if you're frustrated by the ordinance is being changed all over, you can't do anything about it, townships are the same way. If it's dictated to the townships, it's ran down their throat, they have the same feeling about that. So that is kind of the extent of my report. I would say that some of the people that are opposed to this are a little bit radical.
Jim, is this a public power line?
It is a power line that goes from the substation north of Jamestown, which supplies the Applied Digital plant there, and it goes across Sussman and Lemoore and Dickey County and goes to a substation that powers the Applied Digital at Ellendale.
Who's the owner of
the owner is, it's a joint ownership between Otter Tail and NDU.
So then, at that point, though, doesn't the Public Service Commission basically, are you saying, power? Don't they regulate where the power is? Through that bill 1258, does that not give them that authority?
The landowner has it left.
They're able to control the siting. The townships can't. 1258 doesn't give the townships the control the zoning of that with the zoning regulations. And the reason that came forward was because of this.
The PSC has that.
Right.
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 Okay, that's what.
But that doesn't mean that they're still hearing. The PSC still has their permitting hearings.
Mm-hmm. So right, but I mean they. The PSC will basically overrule the township though. If a township has a zoning ordinance, has a 6 mile setback, and the PSC says no, it's 500,
yeah.
You know, the PSC actually, but I understand your hearings would be there for the public.
Yeah.
So they've had the hearings and approved the power line. These hearings were on the site. And yes, the power companies had asked the PSC to apply 1258 to this so that they could so they could use the same 500-foot setback for power lines from homes, and I don't know what else. I don't know what it is from those and like that. I know that there's one township in Sussman, Corwin Township, that this affects. They had set their setbacks either a quarter or a half a mile, and the supervisor talked to me about it, said, you know, I've gone, they can have five different routes through our township with a half mile setback, and we're still being told that we're not doing it. And so that's, yeah.
Half mile now from which, from resident, or half mile from a road?
I think resident.
Was that?
As a matter of fact, I know residents, because you're right, if it was from a road, they couldn't get through it.
Was that you, Larry, that was saying it, or was it someplace in one of our workshops somebody was saying that PSC ruling deal that is going to probably be coming, is going to probably end up in the courts? That's what it kind of sounded like.
Yeah, I heard that a couple of sources.
I wonder if it maybe wasn't that night in Williston that one of the two representatives that were there said that, or possibly, or something. But someplace on one of the tours, that's what they were. It was mentioned.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was the gentleman with the white hair and the blazer on sitting over the table.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
One was Dennis, Dave was one, and Dennis was the other one.
They were
going to
fight.
Naren, Dennis,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Naren.
And the other one was Dave.
It was the dude over to the right.
Yeah.
The gray hair.
They were going to take it to court over the fact that the PSC should not have that regulation.
That the PSC should not have that power, is what I gathered from it.
Well, they're challenging calls this year down to the Constitution.
So,
I've been taking this as well.
See, that big power line down by us, if they want to put through, that comes from Coal Trip. The company come in and bought all the coal mines in Montana. And they're going to put up the biggest power line in the world and send it up to Bismarck and shoot all the power to eastern North Dakota and Minnesota. And they've come around, Don's going to have a bunch on his, and if you realize what they're paying for each tower, $100,000. There's not many people turning it down. And they haven't even got a permit yet. But they want to make sure they got it all set up to figure out if they tell 2030 when to do it.
There might be an argument, Larry, for that being a taking. I've never really thought about that before.
That being what?
For it being a taking of private property, I could see that with the, if the PSC preempts townships, I could see an argument be made on a constitutional issue.
So, one more little tidbit about that. It's called the JEDEC power line. It's a 345 kilovolt line, I think. One of the townships has zero landowners signed up, which I think is really interesting. They are saying that they have, I can't remember if the number is 75% or 90%. Of their easement signed before they went for a site permit from the PSC. 90 seems kind of high, and I don't know that I actually have it written down in my notes anywhere. I should look this up. You know what? I'm not going to be able to find it right away. If I find it before we leave, I'll tell you what it is.
Tim, is that the town with zero people signed up? Is that the township down by Epstein?
I believe is Wayno Township. Because I know that one man that lives in Russell Township, he's opposed to it now, but he had signed early. until we started finding out stuff. But they were told there wasn't going to be anything except connecting substation to substation. And within 2 months, everybody is, and the county is getting inundated with requests and inquiries about solar farms and wind farms and battery farms. And that's kind of where this is all coming from, is that everything changed from what they were told originally. And several of these townships have enacted moratoriums until they can research and find out what can be reasonable.
Well, that's where they'll fight back and forth all day long.
For that one, to me, it's awfully surprising that they didn't sue to buy Tony, because 6 miles to me is a reasonable time. Typically, it was at one point. It was three times the height of the rotor, because they were worried about the shadows. That used to be the biggest thing when that one went in down by Lake Ashtabula. There was a bunch of people in court over that. I worked on that one some. But like the industry standard was three times the rotor height. Now it's two because those towers have gotten taller. But it's that 1,500 to 1,800 feet is typically an industry standard.
Kind of to go along with Tim's report, so I got a packet from Tim Leppard, and this is kind of on this power line stuff too. It's kind of wondering if like NDT would go with like the Northwest and Southwest landowners. I only got one copy, so rather than to get in it, I'm going to give this stuff to Larry. Larry can put it out, email it out to you guys at some point in time here, and everybody will have a chance to look over it rather than to try and do anything with it today here.
So I found my number.
Okay.
77% of the land is signed up. Of the remaining landowners, which is 39, 41% are in negotiations or waiting to speak. 10% or 4 are just simply non-responsive, and 49% or 19 have asked the companies to stop contacting them. And that's off the whole area, like 80 miles or something. So those are the numbers I did find them.
And I said, I didn't get a chance. Tim just handed me, I wanted him to kind of sit down with me after the meeting, but he handed it to me before the meeting was over and he left. And so I said, let's look at him. And the other thing that I kind of got an opinion of, when somebody reaches out to us, if if you return your call to them, they're probably not going to tell anybody. If you don't return the call to them, they're going to probably tell 10 people. Oh, I tried to get a hold of them and they wouldn't talk to me. So that's all I have on that. I'll get it.
I've been getting a lot of calls down there on a lot of different things. I think I've been returning them all.
Yeah.
Something about that?
No, he did not.
Okay.
But that's what we will run into, you know. Yes. Bills.
Can I have one other item?
Yes.
I guess I'm just going to bring her up straightforward. Jason, we have had some questions on if you are a qualified township resident. And we haven't had anything in our bylaws in the past that we've actually had to bring forward oath of office minutes. But I think at this point, I guess I'll make the motion actually that the new directors bring the oath of office and minutes where they were elected to just to clarify, Jason. That's all we need. So,
thank you. I don't have an actual open office, so I don't have one on me. I don't have any of that stuff. So it was an unplanned thing where one of the guys was coming off, and I went on.
But there would be in the minutes that they appointed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should have been an open office sign, so you want to just get your clerk and take care of that.
We have a motion. Requiring that new directors have a oath of office and a copy of the minutes of their nomination. Is there a second?
I'll second it because I already turned my in just for Priya. I'm going to take a work person. Why not?
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Is that for all?
Yeah.
Yes. All directors. We are in discussion part. So that being stated, that also does fall on the nominating committee that they need to research or be checking that these candidates are qualified. You know, I know it. If we've got somebody out ahead of the elections, then it's pretty easy to do. It gets to be a little more tougher when you get a floor nomination. You know, that's. But any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same way. Motion passes.
Where do you want us to send them to?
Send them to Barb.
Kim didn't hear.
Well, I mean, it was there, and it was in minutes, and I'm up for re-election, and I'm like,
I'll have a new one this year because I'm up for re-election too. That consideration of bills.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back to ESD hearing number 2 that I attended because there was a couple of things on there that I think to help townships and just things on these batteries, lithium battery facilities. When I attended that meeting in Bowbells and the PSC Commission did sign off on that on February like 16th or 19th with hesitation, which I found really odd. If you go back to what Randy said and that's recorded, that going forward as far as his deal was the toxin and fire departments because they were kind of forced to agree to this without having all of the information. But the biggest part that township residents and within the township are having an issue is they're going to be allowed to put those 132, almost might as well just say a Connex box, but they're battery containers, and their total setback is 120 feet from, say, fence line, but 40 feet from the container to the fence is gravel, and then the other 80 is vegetation. So if those things start on fire, you're going to burn the whole countryside down. And that's where townships are having some struggles with because it's not a very big buffer. And if something happens, they can't fight that fire. They're just stand down. And, you know, I think they're kind of looking for some help from us to go and talk about with the legislature with certain things so that this is more of a fire hazard than anything. How do you battle that?
They're not fighting the setback, it's only the vegetation area that...
Yeah, to make it a little bit bigger buffer because you have 40 feet to your fence so it's going to gravel, and then there's another 80 that's their technical perimeter setback, but that's prairie grass, like, this isn't a very big one.
40 feet of gravel and then 80 feet towards the fence.
The fence is up to 40 feet.
Oh.
And then they have a perimeter outside the fence of another 80 feet that's technically their setback, but that's all like prairie. And they can't fight those fires. If they start on fire, they are to let them burn. So whatever ember, whatever, they are to be, you know, away on the wind side watching where that's at and there to let them burn out. Well, you could play the whole country on fire that way.
I would guess that's not going to be much of a battle to fight with those companies because in comparison with the money that they're putting in those batteries, I'm guessing it'd be good neighbors. It's just a simple conversation will probably help that.
A company that has a battery down by your area. If there's a battery that's been put in down in that Ellendale area.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
out of Florida, NextEra Energy.
NextEra.
To the west of that, they're putting up there in Nashville County, is it?
Cummins County has one, a battery storage.
Okay. And I think there's one for east of that going in, too.
So,
McIntosh County, I think.
I think McIntosh
is proposing one. But I think that's probably easily workable with the relationship with the company. I wouldn't see with the amount of money they're putting in. I actually have some buddies that sold some land in the Northwest to a battery company, and they paid $20,000 an acre for 40 acres. So I'm guessing an extra $10,000 for gravel is probably not going to be something that they're really going to cause too much trouble with.
So what did you say the PSC's action was?
Well, they approved it, but it was odd that they approved it based on, I emailed all this stuff to my social where I could actually, how he said. So, while approving the project, PSC Chairman Randy Christman noted concerns regarding fire risks and urged future applicants to provide more information on potential toxic releases to local emergency officials a little sooner in the process so that they aren't just agreeing to something that they had no idea about. If you go and pull, he has a video where he actually says it when he's sitting basically on the dive.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, you admitted that you kind of got railroaded on this, and
yeah,
you still agreed to it without providing that information then after the fact. Like, they didn't know about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. So, this GenX power line, the original approval for the power line, the CSC approved 2-1, and Randy Christman was the defending vote. And then as he was starting these hearings on eventually for the siting permit for that GenX power line, he just came right out and said, you have to understand that we'll listen to all your testimony and then we are required to abide by the law. So in other words, he was just saying, all right, everybody was supposed to this, you might just as well know. Because 1258 is going to preempt it.
That's the same statement that we used just when they were working on the field. Exactly.
I think that's what he
explained
to us
both.
He was the one that told us, right? And, was it two years ago?
Yeah.
I guess I seemed to kind of get that from him. So.
Yeah.
That was kind of my job.
And I understand that too, but I think we need to do a better job than a vetting or the process of this prior to just approving this process.
Well, you know, that happens a lot with these big projects, is they kind of run over the local. And I don't know how to respond to the fact that sometimes by the time there's a response, it's so radical it doesn't seem legitimate. Because I think you might, Tim Leppert, I know him and we've talked a lot, but he's the kind of a guy that he's unwilling to continue a conversation with somebody that he agrees on 90% of the things, and if they betray him on 10% of something, he can be in agreement with everything else and feel betrayed on one issue and write you
up. Well, I said, I told him I would have a sit down with him and listen to him, and I said the only thing that he did was hand me the packet and walked out.
Interestingly enough, he's not a township board member.
No, I know, he's zoning. But like I said, we would hear him out as the township association. And so, okay, let's get back on our tractor bill, consideration of bills and vouchers.
make a motion to his bill.
A motion, and for a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
So I know you talked about the scanner and that it hasn't been up and running yet. Is there something about it that's a struggle? I mean,
we just haven't gotten it done.
Okay. We're doing it. We just haven't gotten it done.
It hasn't been purchased yet.
Oh.
It hasn't been purchased.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 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 No, it hasn't been purchased.
Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to pay the bills passes.
Mr. President.
Yes.
One more item. The owl, Larry, we did not ask you about that. Is that to be purchased by the association?
It's mine.
That is yours.
It's mine.
Would you
prefer? We don't want it, it don't work.
Would you prefer if the association owns it?
No.
Okay, next meeting.
If it don't work, I may take it out and shoot it.
you can't be shooting owls. There's federal, federal fines there, Larry.
We'll clarify that. Electronic owls.
Okay, next meeting.
Are we 3 months?
June.
June is when it should be, someplace in June. Yeah. The third Monday of June does not work for me. I've got good, good. That's the only one I got in there is weed board.
And have no food on Monday.
And the third weekend is not good for us. That's when that celebration is, huh? And you and I are working the bus.
Yeah, you
and I.
Do we normally do that on Friday?
Usually it's Tuesday, probably, right?
Usually Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works out. There's so much going on. There's a reunion every week.
23rd?
Yeah. How about the 23rd?
Let's put it as the 23rd.
I have court that day.
Wednesday,
the 24th. I'm good with that. That's my one court day a month is the third Tuesday.
All right, so the 24th would work for you?
Tuesday, yeah. I'll be around that day.
June
24th. We'll set it for June 24th.
Hearing.
At
10 o'clock.
That
would
work.
10
o'clock? Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
I just got an email here a little bit ago from Treasurer's office.
There you go.
State Treasurer's office. Hello everyone. This is a friendly reminder that certifications for the Organized Township General Fund balance are due to our office March 13, 2026. Each township with organized township should have received a spreadsheet for your county in December. So, that's in the process. Townships that haven't given their information will not get prairie dog funding.
Only the prairie dog, not the
both of them?
Both of them.
And even if you hold it over them, you still get lucky. We had 12 of them we were chasing for December.
I don't understand. All right, we have a motion to adjourn.
Kim and Julie.
Meeting adjourned.